Lord. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We entitled the sermon tonight, Blinded, because many in the world are blinded by the evil one. And yet, unfortunately, many
within the church are also blinded. Ephesians 4:18 says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. The blindness of their heart. Let me read to you from the book of Amos chapter 8. Amos chapter 8, and we'll begin reading at verse 11. It says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Isn't that a sad thought if there's a famine in the hearing of the word of the Lord? And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. They shall seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. How many are even in today's world going to churches where they are seeking the word of the Lord and they are being given some type of social gospel where they are not receiving the teachings of the word of God? 2 Corinthians now, chapter 4. Verses 3 and 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning at verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Now, we have all at one time or another have tried to find something that was lost. And sometimes we find it, don't we? But sometimes we don't, and the search can go on. But here we find that our gospel is hid to those who need it most, to those that are lost. And verse 4 says, in whom the God of this world, who is the God, small g, of this world? Of course, it's Satan. It's the devil. It's the deceiver of the nations, the deceivers of you and me. Notice, has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. We find that there are those who would like to shut down gospel-preaching churches. But we must continue to send forth the light. We must continue to desire to follow the Lord's teaching in sending forth this saving grace that is offered through Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your love, for your mercy. Though we are undeserving, we appreciate the fact that you loved us and care for us. Now we ask you would bless this time in the Word of God. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving, amen. Have you ever seen, or not seen, but heard this saying, there are none so blind as those that will not see? Have you heard that before? That there are none so blind as those that will not see. These are issues that are in our lives even today, where some people simply will not believe the truth. I remember this one. What is worse, those that cannot read or those that will not read? Have you ever heard that one? That there are those who know how to read, but they simply won't. But we need to be readers of the Word of God. Some are blinded with, and I have seven thoughts. Some people are blinded. Number one, pride, as Naaman, if you would. 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. We know the story. Naaman was a leper. News had come to where he was in Syria that there was someone that could heal his leprosy. We find that the king there in Syria sends Naaman to go to the king of Israel with the idea of healing the leper. And of course, the king was all upset and said, what am I, a god? And so finally, Elisha says, don't be troubled, have him come here. And we'll begin reading in verse 10. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away, and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me, and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Aben and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. Pride gets in the way oftentimes. It blinds us to what we really need. Pride, it means conceit, haughtiness, arrogance, self-satisfaction, loftiness, pride. And Naaman had pride, even though he was a leper. Even though he was in need of healing, he was angry with the one who said, this is what you need to do. Again, let's look at pride, the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel, if you would, please. Chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4, and we'll begin reading at verse 27. Daniel chapter 4 and verse 27, pride. Some would say there's good pride, like I'm proud to be an American, but then there's bad pride, where we think we're better than someone because I'm an American. Well, the fact is, we should be proud of the fact that God has blessed America. But we should always remember that this is a blessing and never take it as something that is trying to take control so where we are arrogant about it. But Daniel chapter 4, beginning at verse 27. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? I think that God was going to show him, really? Because we know what happens. He is made to be as the cattle that eats the grass of the field for a time where till he finally realized that it wasn't him. See, God uses those that love him as much as those that despise him. Satan doesn't realize it, but God uses him. And so we find that pride is number one. Number two is self-righteousness as the Pharisee. Book of Luke chapter 18. Self-righteousness. And self-righteousness is pious, sanctimonious, holier than thou, or pretending. You think there are people who come to the Covenant Baptist Church that pretend to be interested? I think there is all the time people who pretend. Self-righteousness as the Pharisee. Luke chapter 18, we'll begin reading at verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. And he said, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. Did the Jews like publicans? Man, they despised them. And so yet in Jesus' parable, he says a Pharisee who is a religious person and a publican who many thought they were nothing but thieves. Notice verse 11, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. Now, you would say it would take an awful lot of guts to pray that prayer out loud. I don't think he had a problem with it. See, he thought he was something special. Verse 12, I fast twice in the week. Now, I'm going to tell you what, that's impressive. Okay? He fasted twice a week. He says, I give tithe of all that I possess. That is hard for some people to have to tithe. Continuing. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, what? A sinner. He admitted what he was, a sinner. We're all sinners, saved by grace. Verse 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. You know, there's a great day coming when God is going to bless those that live their godly lives here on earth. And there are going to be those who think they're going to get all kinds of, what shall we say, rewards and accolades, only to find that God is not going to be too pleased with them. In fact, for some, he's going to say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, for I never knew thee. Number three, riches. Riches blind as the rich ruler, Luke chapter 18. We're already here, and we'll begin reading at verse 18. The one's a parable. The other is something that happened in reality. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Jesus is trying to get this young man to say what? That he is God. That he, Jesus Christ, is in fact God. Verse 20, thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. Do you note here that Jesus does not give the last commandment? Do you think that this young man knew that? That Jesus does not give the last commandment? Verse 21. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing, sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. Now, I don't know if at this point in time, the rich young ruler looks at the 12 disciples and he says to himself, none of them have really nice clothes. Because the rich young ruler would have had what? The best clothes. He probably looked at the 12 men and he thought, where are they going to sleep tonight? And you want me to come follow you? You want me to sell everything? That would be a hard task, wouldn't it? It'd be very hard. Verse 23, and when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Riches. If you look it up in the thesaurus, mine had one word, wealth. Wealth. And Jesus said, it is very hard for a rich man to get into heaven because their eyes are on their wealth. 1 Timothy, and you knew we'd go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, didn't you? 1 Timothy chapter 6. We'll begin reading at verse 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich, notice, they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have what? Erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. We need to remember where these riches come from. And they come from our Lord. Folks, we are blessed beyond measure in the United States of America. After church, my wife has given me a task to go over here to Kroger and to get her something. You know, it's amazing. I mean, you know, just go and get it. Well, that tells you two things. Number one, that it's going to be there. And number two, that I have what? Money or a credit card. But, you know, we are so blessed. And sometimes we take our eyes off the Lord and we put it on our possessions. Psalm 52, verse 7. Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. Be careful where we think we get our riches. Proverbs chapter 11, let me read that to you, verse 28. Proverbs 11, 28. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. Now, it doesn't say that the righteous may not be rich. It just says that he that trusteth in his riches shall fall. Number four, worldliness as Demas. Worldliness. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We were in 1 Timothy, now we're in 2 Timothy. Chapter 4, we'll beginning at verse 9. Worldliness. Let me say this to you. We all have to fight worldliness. From the guy behind the pulpit to the ones in the nursery. Every one of us has to fight worldliness. It is something that is a snare to us. Verse 9, do thy diligence, Paul writes to Timothy, to come shortly unto me. For Demas hath forsaken me. Do you think those were hard words for Paul to pen? I think he was bothered greatly that someone that he trusted in his ministry has left. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee. And the books, but especially the parchments. Why do you think he wanted the parchments? To write more letters. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that that all the Gentiles might bear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Now, there are two thoughts as what is meant by he was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. What was one of the things they did to Christians in Rome? They fed them to the lions. Now, there are some who believe that he was being sentenced to go, and then someone probably said, you can't do this, he's a Roman citizen. Which meant that he could only be executed one way, and that was to be beheaded. And may I say this, if you have a choice to being fed to the lions or being beheaded, be beheaded. It's very quick. Not that I've ever experienced it, but I just think it would be. But notice, he says, Demas hath forsaken me. Worldly, from the Webster Dictionary, devoted to this world and its pursuits rather than to religion or spiritual affairs. That's from the Webster's Dictionary. Worldly. Devoted to this world and its pursuits rather than to religion or spiritual affairs. Worldly minded. Being devoted to or engrossed in worldly interests. Worldly wise, possessing a practical and often shrewd understanding of human affairs. Now, we may be worldly wise, we may understand what's going on, but we don't want to be worldly in our life. We don't want the Lord to say, you are not worthy of being called a Christian. Demas feared death and persecution. I mean, after all, if you've been with Paul, Paul has been what? Beaten with rods and stripes and stoned and left for dead. Do you think he was dead? They knew how to kill people. Pastor Stephen and I were reading recently about Stephen and talking about being stoned. You could only hope the first stone would knock you out. It would be very terrible. Number five. Covetousness as Balaam. Covetousness. 2 Peter chapter 2, if you would please. 2 Peter chapter 2, and we'll read verses 13 through 15. Covetousness, which means greed or greediness, possessiveness, selfishness. Oh, we have so much, and yet we still want more, don't we? I know I'm just as guilty as anyone else. We have to fight covetousness. Beginning at verse 13. And shall reserve the reward of unrighteousness as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. Having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls. In heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bozar, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. They have forsaken the right way. You agree that there's a right way and a wrong way? And there is. And so we find covetousness. Number six, self-will, such as Eve, Cain, Saul, etc. 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Self-will, if you look up in the thesaurus, means stubborn. I think there are two kinds of stubbornness. One is good and one is bad. It is a good thing to be stubborn when someone wants you to sin, right? And you say no. Like when I was offered a cigarette when I was in junior high school. And I thought, if I smoke that, my mother will know. You think she'd have been very happy with me? Uh-uh. So my first thought was to break it in half and throw it on the ground in front of Sterling Junior High School. And the guy that offered it to me chased me all the way home. He missed his bus. He later apologized to me at a school reunion. I didn't know he even remembered it. Stubborn, obstinate. Can you name somebody in the Old Testament that got swallowed up by a whale that was obstinate? Jonah, obviously. Would you say he was obstinate? But then there's the stubborn person that hears the word of God preached over and over and over again and says, no, 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 I will not listen. No! There are stubborn people. Self-will, if you look it up in Webster's dictionary, it says, governed by one's own will, not yielding to the wishes of other. Obstinate. Obstinate. Notice 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. And Samuel said, he's talking to King Saul, hath the Lord his great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Now, which is easier? To take something and offer it as a sacrifice or to obey the word of God? Which one's easier? Well, it's a whole lot easier to sacrifice something. That's what I would say. To obey the word of God, what Samuel is saying here, to obey the Ten Commandments and to obey what God told you to do to this enemy of the Lord, the Amalekites. And notice what it says, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Now, what could they do to the witch? They'd stone the witch. They'd stone the witch. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. And yet the sin of stubbornness gets in our way. Self-will. And it says, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Saul, you had the tiger by the tail, and you blew it. Such will, such as Eve and Cain, who wanted their way, not God's way. And number seven, how many did I say we had? Seven. Prejudice as the rulers. Prejudice. Be it Herod, who sought for the baby Jesus to destroy him and ended up killing the innocent. Or Herod, a different Herod, the son, who executed John the Baptist. Or the religious leaders that wanted to kill Jesus and the apostle Paul. Or those that arrested the disciples and wanted to intimidate them to stop their preaching, etc., etc., etc. The prejudice of the rulers. Prejudice means intolerance, bigotry, bias, having partiality, to twist or to warp. And yet prejudice will blind us. Which brings us to the conclusion. Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. Beginning at verse 17. to the church of Laodicea, the Lord is speaking, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, as knowest thou not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and what? And blind and naked. Blind. Now we've named seven things. We could have named more that blind us to what needs to be done. Verse 18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. See. Proverbs 29:18a is where there is no vision, the people perish. Folks, we need to be careful that we do not become blinded by society, that we do not become blinded by flesh or the whole list of things that we looked at, because there is a job to be done. And if we are blinded to their needs, then the people perish. Shall we stand together? We'll sing a song of invitation. Maybe you'd like to come and pray. You can even pray right there. 301, only trust him.